More Idaho Matters right now. There's been some movement on the actor's strike, and now that the writer's strike is over, one of TV's most popular shows is back. Plus, several movies are about to open, including the biggest concert film, a probable Best Picture nominee, and a must-see documentary. So here to help us figure out what to watch is our resident movie critic and Morning Edition host, the lovely George Prentice. Hi, George.
Hi, Gemma.
Okay, so can we start by talking about what could be, I mean, honestly, the biggest concert film, not just of our time, George, we're talking all time.
It's not a matter of how enormous the Taylor Swift film will be at the box office. It's how colossal it will be at the box office. So there were projections that and by the way, it's a nearly 3-hour film. So it is pretty much the entire era's concert on film, on high definition, if you will, and on a big screen. So we are talking about Taylor Swift and the world that we live in, which is Taylor's world. But the early projections were that the opening weekend could be, you know, $50, $60, $70 million. Now they're talking $100 million, possibly $150 million. The advance ticket sales alone will make it nearly impossible for folks to even walk up to the box office and say, can I see this weekend when it opens? So this is Taylor Swift. This is the big screen. It's not even an adaptation. It's pretty much the full concert on the big screen of this Eras Tour, which has gotten so much coverage. So let's take a listen.
Up to me and they'd be like, you're gonna just like do a show with like all the albums in it, and I was like, yeah, it's gonna be called the Eras Tour. See you there.
How can you avoid Taylor Swift? My goodness, it's the Eras Tour. It opens in theaters tomorrow. I would imagine cinemas everywhere will be pretty close to being sold out. And this could not only be the biggest concert movie of all time, this could well be possibly the number one or number two, maybe only next to Barbie, film of the year as far as box office receipts. And by the way, Gemma, as you can imagine, these fans are so loyal. These are fans that will go back and see this film 2, 3, and 4 times, much like the Barbie experience. I expect this to bust a lot of box office records.
Well, and I've got to think, George, that theaters are salivating it, right?
Oh, yeah. And I think studio executives who don't have a cut of this action, I think they are dismissing this way too swiftly. I think that you have to pay attention to who Taylor Swift is and what she brings to the table economically, culturally, all of it. You don't have to love her music, but you certainly have to respect her art.
Well, and you have to, and I think too, Georgia goes beyond that, right? I mean, as you said, culturally, socially.
Yeah.
I mean, look what she's done when she told people to go out and register to vote. I mean, she is a powerhouse, And I give her mad props and respect because she is unabashedly herself. And I think that's difficult to do for anyone as they are coming up as a young adult, let alone in the public eye like she is.
I will go see it out of respect. I am not what you would consider a huge Taylor Swift fan.
You're not a Swiftie?
No, I'm not a Swiftie by any means. I do not fit that demographic, but I've got to check this out as a film. And I'll be curious of what the audience experience is. This is going to be, at least in the arts world, the talk of the town.
100%. Well, absolutely. Okay, so speaking of what also could be the talk of the town, let's talk about Best Picture.
Yeah.
Because there's an opening that certainly could be a Best Picture nominee, at least.
I think it's a slam dunk. And we are talking about Martin Scorsese's much-anticipated Killers of the Flower Moon. And this opens a week from tomorrow here in Idaho and across the country. I have seen this film in a private screening, so now I can tell you that this is an epic. I think a lot of people were somewhat skeptical that Martin Scorsese was going to adapt this much-beloved book, Killers of the Flower Moon. By the way, so here's the backstory on this, and it's fascinating. So this is the story of the Osage National Reservation. Now, when vast oil and mineral supplies were discovered beneath the reservation, and this was in Oklahoma at the turn of the early 20th century, there was something called the Osage Allotment Act, and it paid tribal members equal shares of the revenues from that oil, hundreds of millions of dollars by today's standards. So members of the tribe were some of the richest people in the region. Now, what did this have to do with murder? A lot. It turns out that there was a man by the name of, they called him the King of the Osage Hills, William Hale, and he is portrayed by Robert De Niro in this film. And he had a plot, one of the most blood-curdling plots in American history. Rights to the oil revenue could only be legally obtained by an outsider if they married into the tribe. So he and his minions would marry into the tribe, and then one by one, members of the tribe were found dead. And this included Hale's nephew, who was kind of a sniveling jerk, and he's played by Leo DiCaprio in this film. And it's a fascinating tale. And the FBI investigated this. This was one of, and the FBI was brand new in this country. This was one of the very first murder investigations the FBI ever was involved with. So the book, the centerpiece of the book was the FBI investigation. Scorsese, and that's what I love about this film, he turns this, instead of making a white person's tale through the lens of the FBI, this is through the members of the tribe. And so it's really fascinating. It is blood-curdling. You have to watch this. Let's listen to a brief clip.
You made a good choice coming back here. Osage are the finest, wealthiest, and most beautiful people on God's earth. They outsmart everybody.
They have the say. Who gets the oil?
Son, I got a question. You like women?
That's my weakness.
Well, we mix these families together, and that estate money flows the right direction. It'll come to us.
Shumikasi.
I was sent down from Washington, D.C. to see about these murders.
We have so many deaths, we've lost count.
It's just bad luck.
Seems more like an epidemic than bad luck to me.
Osage is dying by the enemy. Do not let them die alone.
Evil surrounds my heart.
It is chilling, and it is a must-see. Martin Scorsese, it might be one of his great films. And when you look at his canon of films, it's like, wow, does this go really close to the top? It really, really does. De Niro is blood-curdling as William Hale, who is the architect of this deceit. Leo DiCaprio originally was cast as the FBI agent. When Scorsese twisted this tale to do it through the eyes of the tribe, he decided to make it more of a supporting role as one of the people who marries into the tribe. And I think that's what makes this film so interesting. By the way, with the blessing of the Osage tribe. I highly recommend this film.
That's really important too, George. I'm glad you pointed that out, with the blessing of the tribe that they did this movie and honestly made the center of it be about what happened to these people.
And again, it's something, I mean, what is the best film experience? Tell me something I don't know. Take me somewhere I've never been before. And that's exactly what this does.
Wow. And when does it open?
It opens a week from tomorrow. It opens on the 20th.
Okay. Okay. Let's talk about documentaries, because you say there's a must-see one that's out or coming out.
If I were to tell you that there's a new documentary about David Cornwell, I think most people would say, who? Well, David Cornwell, his nom de plume is Jean Le Carré, the greatest spy novelist probably of all time.
Okay.
And this is the name of the film is The Pigeon Tunnel. It is the final interview with Jean Le Carré about his time as a spy. He was actually a spy. And when he wrote The Spy Who Came In From the Cold, Gemma, it really did turn the whole genre upside down, because up until then, we looked at spies as James Bond, right? You know, as these guys in tuxedos drinking martinis. No, spies were messy, and things went horribly wrong more often than not. And The Spy Who Came In From the Cold changed that genre. So let's listen to just a brief. And again, the film is called The Pigeon Tunnel.
Most writers who become successful can actually talk to one particular benchmark book. If we think Kingsley Amis, we think Lucky Jim. Doesn't matter how much he wrote before or since. If we think Daphne du Maurier, we think Rebecca. Popular writers have usually got one flag they can always wave, and it haunts them, haunts me. I mean, can I ever write another Spy Who Came In From the Cold? Answer, no, I can't. But I can do other stuff.
Boy, did he do other stuff. Of course, he went on to write Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, The Constant Gardener, and so many more. Gemma, so here's the story of the Pigeon Tunnel. When this, when Cornwell was a young boy, his father would take him to a shooting club, an upper-class shooting club. And at the club, they had a tunnel that they built beneath the ground that they would stuff trapped pigeons into. And the pigeons would fly toward the light through this tunnel so that the hunters could then just gun these pigeons down. And the hunters would think that they were great sportsmen. So this is the metaphor, right, of the real spy, of pigeons flying to the light just so they could be gunned down. And that is the metaphor of Jean Le Carré's life and his book. And it's fascinating. It's a brand new documentary. Again, certainly lower profile than the other movies we're talking about, but I love a good documentary. If you like this genre, it is a must see.
Okay. And before we wrap things up, George, let's talk about the wake of the settlement of the writer's strike, because that means that some of TV's most popular shows are actually going to start coming back.
Some, exactly. So we know that the late night shows have come back, the late night talk shows this Saturday night. SNL returns, Saturday Night Live returns. It is their, my gosh, 49th season.
Oh,
boy,
that'll
make you feel old, but they will be live from Studio 8H this coming Saturday. Pete Davidson will be hosting. So I thought it would be fun to look back at where did we leave things with SNL and Weekend Update. This is what was going on the last time they were live.
Shocker. Tucker Carlson seen here laughing at a dog locked in a hot car. Released security footage from the January 6th attacks with the violence edited out and said it proves it was a peaceful gathering, which is like editing all the sex out of a porn video and saying it's a short film about being a stepmom.
New documents from the Dominion lawsuit reveal texts from Tucker Carlson in which he says he hates Donald Trump passionately and can't wait until he's able to ignore him. That must suck to go on TV and put on a smile and make friends with some psychotic bigot just because it's good for the show. Anyway, back to you, Colin.
I don't get it. RuPaul harshly criticized lawmakers who support banning drag shows, calling them stunt queen politicians. And let me just say, hallelujah, girl. I gotta serve realness on this one. These dusty breeders are resting on ugly, and I am gagging on it.
Colin Jost to Michael Che. I mean, let's face it, it's the broadcast record, right, of the news of the week. And there is so much to talk about and to laugh about. Weekend Update, isn't that what we all need and wait for? Saturday Night Live returns this Saturday on NBC.
Looking forward to it. Well, as always, George, it's such a pleasure to chat with you about all of this. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Gemma.
We've been talking with our resident movie critic, George Prentice, who spends his spare time hosting Morning Edition. We've been talking about what to watch this weekend, all kinds of things out there. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is my voice. It can tell you a lot about me, and I'm not changing it for anyone. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of NPR episodes centered on the Black experience. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.